You need money in order to successfully launch a product, but money alone isn't enough. Today's guest turned down an investment from Shark Tank because she realized she wasn't ready. Since then, she has learned and grown and raised money to launch in the right way. That extra time and experience helped her to grow her business more quickly and more profitably. Hear that story and much more in today's interview.
Are you looking for new ways to make your sales grow? You've tried other podcasts, but they don't seem to know. Harvest the growth potential of your product or service as we share stories and strategies that'll make your competitors nervous. Now, here's the host of the Harvest Growth Podcast, John LeClaire.
Today, I'm excited to be speaking with Akshita Iyer. She is the founder and CEO of OME, O-M-E. You can find their website and see their products at omekitchen.com. Again, it's all, as always, it's in the show notes. If you're driving, go check it out afterwards. We'll have a discount code we'll share at the end of this interview as well for anybody who might be interested in the product. It's a super cool product. I'm really excited to talk about the product and the story behind it as well with Akshita. But I'll let Akshita do the talking and really explain what OME is, what this product is. So first of all, Akshita, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks so much, John, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So tell us, for the benefit of the audience that may not have heard about your product, what is OME? What does it do?
Yeah, so, you know, as a company, what we're doing at OME is really redefining and reinventing the kitchen as we know it. So, you know, as our first step, our first product is the only retrofit system on the market today that can turn an existing gas or electric stove into a smart appliance without the need for a kitchen remodel and without the need for a new appliance. And our smart knob essentially upgrades your stove in minutes. We've got a built-in motor. It's Wi-Fi connected. So we can actually automatically and proactively control your appliance really based on anything that's happening in your kitchen. First, starting with making sure that you get the same peace of mind in your kitchen that you do elsewhere. And there's a story behind that in terms of how I came up with the product, but that's our first device that we've come out with.
Yeah, I'd love to. We'll get to that story for sure, because we definitely want to share that with our audience. It's a cool story. First of all, though, let's talk a little bit more about the product itself. I have to tell you, every single night we go to bed in our home, it's always, you know, check the back door, check the stove, is it on, right? And like every now and then, of course, we forget and like, I'm lying in bed, I got to go downstairs and check on it. That's one of the benefits I love about this is the safety aspect. Talk about what are other reasons that people buy or are interested in your product?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the biggest benefits of a product like ours in the kitchen space is that it is a retrofit. And when you look at the rest of the smart home, I'm sure you have a bunch of retrofit devices already, right? Whether it's your doorbell, your door lock, your thermostat. And so making it as easy as possible for, you know, consumers to be able to use technology in a way that's understandable. And that's the benefit of retrofit. And so I think that's one of the biggest benefits of our product, is that we're not asking you to use your stove or to cook in a different way. We're just giving you extra smarts. And then I think the second thing is, you know, because safety and peace of mind are so top of mind in the rest of the home, right? When you look at all the home security systems that we have, that's one thing that's missing in the kitchen. And so we're approaching the kitchen from that peace of mind safety angle, especially to, you know, your point, this is top of mind for people who cook often. If you have kids, if you have aging family members, making sure that you can cook at home safely, the number one cause of house fires is actually unattended cooking. And so, you know, this happens all the time. And even if you don't have a house fire, it's, you know, just, you know, that moment of panic, right? Did I leave the stove on? Or even burning food, right? Something as simple as that. And so, you know, with our most basic functionality, with the auto shutoff, with, you know, remote monitoring, we solve for a lot of these seemingly very small pain points, but ones that we have every day, which really makes a huge difference for our customer base.
And I love how, you know, it's a problem that's been around for a long time and most of us are aware. Not everybody is, you know, how often fires do happen in the kitchen, but I think most of us are aware of that, but there hasn't been an easy, simple solution. It reminds me of a product we actually did a TV infomercial for many years ago called the Stove Ranger. So it was, I'll quickly describe it. It was a big device you hang above your stove that would sense a fire. So if it, once an actual fire started and got to, you know, a 2-foot flame kind of thing, it would open up and drop down flame retardant and create a huge mess. And it was a great product at the time. And frankly, it probably the only solution back then that was possible, right? But what I love about what you've done is now, okay, technology has changed, right? So now we can have smart home appliances that, you know, as you mentioned, several others that are in a lot of our homes, right? From video doorbells to locks, et cetera. But yeah. You've taken that to now this particular solution as well. So now technology is there. So your solution is much better. Of course, I don't want to disparage our old product you worked on because it was all you could do back then. This is 10 years ago, yeah. Right? But yeah. Now what a simple solution, I think, that you've done. And you can do so much more, right? It has a safety aspect, but there's other things you can do with the product as well. So I love it.
Exactly. And I think, you know, that's really where technology, you know, plays a role in the sense of, you know, when you've got these hardware and software systems, it's the hardware is just kind of your entry point, and then you can build all sorts of experiences on top of it. And I think, you know, what we are able to do is we can solve for peace of mind and safety today. But then we built this infrastructure so that over time, as our user base expands, as the needs of our users expand, as we learn more about how people cook at home, we can add more and more functionality on top of it, right? Whether it's, you know, you want convenience, you want to integrate with your meal kit companies, you know, you want to, you know, cook with family and friends from, you know, across the country. Like there's so much opportunity once you have you know, a solid foundation that we can build on. And I think that's the other reason, you know, a lot of consumers like our system is that we solve for a variety of scenarios. It's not just the house fire, right? It's also, you know, let me set a timer for my rice for 18 minutes so I don't burn my rice, right? I only have 60 minutes a day to get food on the table and I don't have time, you know, to screw it up. And so that's another, you know, kind of use case that we solve for and that we can expand on too.
Love it. Love it. Yeah. With technology comes added simplicity and added benefits. Yeah. That's you've explained it very well. So let's talk about your background a little bit. How did you come up with this idea originally? You know, are you trained in smart home technology previous to this, or how'd you come up with the idea?
Yeah, I am trained as of now, but when I started, I was not trained. No, you know, on paper, it doesn't make sense why I'm doing this. So my degree is actually in neuroscience. I went to Duke, thought I was going to go to med school, worked at the hospital for a few years just because I wasn't convinced that medicine was really what I wanted to do. I didn't have the same passion as, you know, my classmates did. And in that time, I actually just was watching a lot of Shark Tank, got very inspired by all of these entrepreneurs who didn't have the traditional engineering or product development or business backgrounds that you would expect. Who were just solving for their own problems. So I was already kind of in that mindset when my own mom actually left the stove on one too many times and started a kitchen fire. You know, I grew up around food. Like, I grew up in a household where every meal was cooked at home. My grandparents lived with us. My grandmother was in the kitchen all the time. And so there's a lot of meaning for me in the kitchen, as I'm sure, you know, many, many people probably listening to this podcast can relate to. And so when this happened, you know, on one side, my parents, you know, basically stopped cooking. But then on the other side, because they stopped cooking, their diet just completely went down the drain. The things that we do every day in our homes can be very powerful indicators of our health and wellness, especially in the kitchen. And for this reason, you know, food as medicine and healthcare is coming to the forefront. Because data shows that when you cook healthy meals at home, you have better health outcomes. And so, you know, it was kind of a reality check, one from the safety side for me, but then also from a health side for my parents, especially when my mom was actually diagnosed with Parkinson's a few years before this happened. And so already the activities of daily living were becoming more difficult for her. If I had had technology that was, you know, actually, you know, monitoring what she was doing at home, it could have given me some indication that something was wrong, right? She was taking twice as long to cook because she was moving slower and she was cooking less. And so, I think what I saw an opportunity to do was, you know, approach the kitchen in a way that no one had yet, especially because appliances last for 10 to 20 years. And so when we had this incident, the last thing I was going to do was go and buy a new appliance because of everything, the appliance was actually fine. I just saw an opportunity and decided that, you know, it affected me enough to try to do something about it. I honestly did not expect this to be a company. I just wanted to build something for my parents to use. And best case scenario, maybe we had some IP that we could go license, but then we actually ended up getting on Shark Tank. And that opened my eyes to the magnitude of the problem and also the variety of use cases and markets that we could actually tackle with a technology like this. So I just kind of dove headfirst and haven't looked back.
Love it. And I love how you started your story really with, you know, watching Shark Tanks, like a lot of inventors do, right? It inspires us to realize the potential of when you come up with a great idea, there is a path to making a success out of it, right? And you can learn a lot from watching the show. And so you started that journey by seeing Shark Tank, watching it a few times, right? And then you kind of continued your journey by being on the show. Can you share with our audience what, how did it help you? I guess, what did you learn through your experience of appearing on Shark Tank?
Yeah, you know, I think one, the visibility I think is unmatched. Unfortunately, we had a barely functioning prototype when we went on Shark Tank. And so we couldn't really take advantage of the revenue potential that you could if you had a product that was in market. However, I think the visibility gave me, you know, that one last kind of piece of courage, I guess, to actually go and figure out how to build this. Because until then, it was, you know, I was working still and I was kind of piecemealing this together as a side project. And then all of a sudden, you know, you hear from thousands of people about how impactful this technology can be. And it was kind of, you know, inspiring and motivating, right? To be like, okay, you know what, there's enough people that want this, like, I can go and do this. And, you know, also on the show, I think it's a test of how you respond under pressure. Because you've got five investors from completely different backgrounds, from completely different perspectives, just, you know, throwing questions out at you, and being able to manage that is quite a task in and of itself. And so, you know, I think for a first-time entrepreneur, and starting out, you know, my journey as a founder, that was a great way to test myself and like, can I answer these questions? And what kinds of questions are we getting? And then on top of it, you get that visibility. So, you know, I think there was a lot of benefit to being on the show so early. And we did get an offer, but we didn't take it. And I get asked all the time, why didn't you take it? Do you regret it? And to be honest, at that point, you know, even today, I would say I'm glad I didn't take it, because I didn't know enough about how to build a business to be able to effectively and efficiently use that capital. I think it would have gone down the drain, because what happened after that was, okay, if I'm serious about this, I need to go and figure out how to build this thing. And where do you go? All right. So I went out to Silicon Valley, met as many people as I could, as many founders as I could, to understand, you know, how do you pitch an investor? What do you look for in an investor? You know, how do you build a pitch deck? And, you know, how do you think about your go-to-market? And I didn't know any of that. So if I had taken that money then, I think I would have just, you know, I would have just blown it, because I really didn't have the knowledge and I hadn't gotten over that learning curve. And so, you know, not taking that money and being on the show pushed me to go and kind of figure it out and get practical experience to then kind of get to where I am today.
That's a great way of describing. I think, you know, you definitely need money to turn a product or an idea into a success, right? Sometimes it can be raised by yourself through a job, savings, whatever, or through outside means, but you can't do without any money, right? So you need money, but money's not enough, right? You've got to have the expertise behind it, or learnings, or, you know, potentially a team or people you work with, and that basic understanding. So I think that's very smart of you back then, and obviously to realize it today too, to get money or use money at the right time for your business. Even if you have it, it's not about throwing a bunch of money, because you can throw it in the wrong direction, right? So making sure that you use your resources very wisely throughout the process. So you learned a lot along the way. What since then has really worked from a marketing perspective for your business? So post Shark Tank, now you're in market, got a live website you can purchase. You'll get ohmkitchen.com. Go check it out. But what's worked for you and turned your business successful since then?
Yeah, you know, so I think from a consumer side, you know, Shark Tank and their repeated visibility, because we rerun almost every month, if not every other month, is we built a pretty big consumer wait list. We shipped, you know, about, you know, half of those in the last like 18 months. So, you know, I think the word of mouth has worked really well for us, especially, you know, to what we talked about a few minutes ago. This is a problem that everyone faces in one sense or another, right? Whether it's your kid who's cooking, who leaves the stove on, it's your grandparent, it's, you know, it's you, right? If you get distracted, you're working from home. And so I think word of mouth has been powerful, but where we have shifted our focus, because direct to consumer as an early stage startup is very tough. It's challenging. It's expensive. You need team, customer service. And what I noticed actually coming out of Shark Tank, coming out of our waitlist, was that, you know, we have an opportunity around aging in place to leverage our technology to actually serve older adults. And this goes back to why I started this, right? My parents were getting older. And so through learnings of, you know, our early customers, we realized that, you know, there's an opportunity to give that same peace of mind to senior living communities. And so that has actually been a beneficial shift in our strategy. And what it also does from a business perspective is just get us to scale faster, because we can get larger purchase orders, we can get larger amount of product into homes, just going kind of B2B, but it's a longer sales cycle. So, you know, we're still learning a lot. But the good thing is that, you know, we have product that works, we have, you know, product that people love and that people use every day. And, you know, the big thing as well is, you know, we get a lot of data and insights around people's cooking habits now in the home. And that's information that nobody has yet. And so what we've seen from the senior living side, you know, is that we can actually use, you know, the number of auto shutoffs or the frequency of, you know, cooking as early indicators of potential cognitive decline. And so, you know, as you get more and more product out, you start to see, you know, other ways that you can actually leverage the data and the insights, especially when you have connected devices, right? You're getting all this information, but the hard part is, how do you synthesize that in a way that's actionable and valuable to your partners and even to you as a company? So I think we're still kind of, you know, playing around with what will work long term. But, you know, I think the best thing about an early stage startup is that you are nimble and agile, and you can, you know, make decisions quickly, and you can iterate quickly based on the learnings that you get day in and day out. So,
yeah, absolutely. Well, Akshita, this has been really helpful. It's been some great information, I think, that it will be beneficial to our audience. Are there any resources that you have found along your journey? You talked about, you know, not knowing a lot in the beginning, like all entrepreneurs, right? You learn so much along the way. Are there any resources that have really helped your journey that you think could be helpful for our audience as well?
Yeah, so I think the biggest resources have been other founders. I think people who have walked in the shoes that you are about to walk in has been a saving grace for me, because, you know, more importantly than why people succeed is where they failed and how they were able to get back up and how you're able to use those, you know, failings as a way to not make those same mistakes. And so I think the best thing that I did, and I would encourage any other, you know, aspiring entrepreneur to do, is just go and, like, LinkedIn message, email, go and meet in person other founders, because everyone's, you know, pretty open to giving their time because they know how tough it was. So I think that's one thing. And then I think the other book that was really, really helpful for me was That Will Never Work by Mark Randolph, so the founder of Netflix. And the reason it was so impactful is that, you know, I think there's so much self-awareness that has to come with being a founder and knowing your strengths, your weaknesses. And this is a lot of what Mark talks about in that book, and how it was really tough because you think that you can do anything, right? You think that you can take this company to IPO or whatever it is, but sometimes, you know, people don't evolve as fast as startups do, right? And so your team is going to change. Like, our team has completely changed in the last 18 months, and, you know, and you change as a person, the company changes. Yeah. And so being able to kind of look inside and be retrospective, you know, about what's working, what's not working, I think was really helpful from that book. So I think those are, you know, a couple of the most helpful resources that I've come across.
I'm glad you brought that up. I've heard about that book. I haven't read it yet. So now I'll add it to my queue and read it soon. It sounds like a good story. So is there anything I didn't ask that you think would be helpful for audience?
You know, I think there's one other resource that I used a lot, especially in the early days, was Guy Raz's How I Built This podcast. Just because, again, you hear about, like, you know, these quote overnight successes that really took a really long time and all of the struggles that they went through. And one thing that Guy asks at the end of every episode is, you know, do you feel like your success was luck or hard work? And, you know, I thought about this a lot, and I think there is obviously luck in a lot of things that we do, but one thing that I have learned to do over time is to be prepared for luck. Right, is to be prepared for opportunity to hit you. So I think that's something that, you know, is probably helpful for any entrepreneur, because you never know where opportunities are going to come from. And it's really about, you know, how many stones can I turn myself? Because, you know, doors are not going to open for you. And so just being ready for any, you know, door to appear and to be able to take that step through, even if you don't know what's on the other side. And even if you fail, you know, you just get back up. I think, so I think that's a question that I always liked that Guy asked. And I think every entrepreneur has given some similar answer, is that, you know, I did work really hard and I was ready for, you know, opportunity to come by. But then sometimes, you know, there's also timing and people who are around you and, you know, finding, you know, the right people to bring around the table all makes a difference.
Yeah. And I think a commonality is no one is ever lucky by waiting for luck to appear, right? No, you work, when you work, it's not going to, not everyone's going to, not, you know, you have to watch for the opportunities. They're not always there, but when you work, they do manifest themselves eventually. So it does come through work as well. Well said. So I do want to encourage our audience, please go check out Ohm Kitchen, O-M-E, kitchen.com. And Akshita has been nice enough to offer a 20% promo code to listeners of this podcast. If you use Harvest Growth, all one word, no spaces, Harvest Growth as a promo code, you get a 20% discount. Also, for our listeners, please check out harvestgrowth.com and see other episodes we've recorded. If you like this episode and you want to learn more about how you can profitably grow your own consumer product business, please subscribe to our show, leave us a review, and you can always set up an appointment and speak with one of our new product launch specialists at our company as well. Again, harvestgrowth.com. Akshita, I really want to thank you again for your time. This is a great interview.
Yeah, thanks so much, John. And, you know, if there are any aspiring entrepreneurs out there, I'm happy to be a resource. My email is akshita@ohmkitchen.com, or you can find me on LinkedIn. But thank you so much for the opportunity to share our story.
Fantastic. And I will add that email address to the show notes as well. So again, check it out if you're driving and listening to this podcast, and reach out to Akshita. And for sure, check out the website. At least just if nothing else, this is a cool product. You got to see it, see the great work that Akshita and her team have done. So thanks again.
Thanks, John.